It's official. Labor is back in power in New South Wales after 12 years in the shade of a coalition government. Today, Chris Minns was sworn in as the Premier of Australia's most populous state.
It's wonderful to be here at Government House and to be sworn in as the 47th Premier of New South Wales with the interim government now in place. We know there's a huge responsibility on our shoulders and work starts today. Counting is continuing in many key seats and we don't know the final composition of the next parliament. But my team and I are ready to hit the ground running. We know there's a big responsibility and we can't wait for those responsibilities of office.
So how is that count looking? I know one man who certainly will know. Anthony Green is the ABC's election analyst. Anthony, welcome to you.
Good afternoon.
How many seats are still in doubt and just when will counting be finalised?
Well, I'd say there's six still in doubt, but Labor's on 45 seats. There's only one of the doubtful seats that it leads in, that's Ryde, and the lead is narrowed there. The other seats which they thought they might win, which is Terrigal, Goulburn, Holsworthy, they've slowly slipped behind in. I think Miranda's going to be won by the Liberal Party. And a bit of a boil over all night because Kiama, after it looked like Labor might win, a huge performance by Gareth Ward in the Nowra early voting centre means that Gareth Ward is now on track to win Kiama.
Standing as an independent,
yes,
which
yes.
is incredible.
So that news broke today, which was his first day of his court case.
Wow. Over the weekend, that magical 47 number needed for a Labor majority seemed within reach. In fact, it was up in lights on the ABC ticker. It's now looking likely there'll be a minority government. What changed here?
Well, the minute we turned off, I mean, it all projected forward as being good for Labor, but the pre-poll votes have been very strongly...
Which always tend towards Conservative governments?
Not always. No. Not as strongly as this. I mean, sometimes they're more strong than others. I think they may be just as strong, but there's a lot more of them, and I think that's had the impact. But every one of those early voting centres, even ones you would expect Labor to do reasonably well, and they haven't made any ground up. Now, maybe that means that, you know, the swing was quite late, who knows? But there's certainly a lot more of them, and that's so it's had more impact. So Labor may only end up with 45, maybe 46, depending, you know, one of these seats could come down to the very last absent vote in some electorates. And the absent votes will tend to favour Labor, but the rest of the postal votes, which has been a larger number of this time, are all favouring the Liberal Party.
Tell me more about Terrigal.
Well, it's the most affluent of the Central Coast seats north of Sydney. It's east of Gosford, between Gosford, Brisbane Water and the ocean.
A booming population in recent times.
Oh, I'm not sure about that, but it's much more affluent than other parts of the Central Coast. And it's always been the Liberal seat on the Central Coast, but there's been a substantial swing there. But as I said, each of the early voting centres has seen Labor drop behind and the Liberals pull ahead. And they're about, I think it was about 220 votes ahead last time I looked.
Three independent members of the crossbench last night guaranteed Minns confidence and supply. In the event he doesn't secure the remaining seats, was that necessary to ensure he could be sworn in today?
Oh, probably not. I mean, because the government can govern in a minority. You don't need a confidence right. supply agreement. It's just much easier. Basically the crossbench agrees that they won't vote against supply and they won't vote against the confidence barring some sort of corrupt activity or something like that. It doesn't mean they won't vote with the government on all legislation. And they reserve that right to do what they like there. But it does mean, I mean, we've got fixed term parliaments. You can't have, you know, a possibility of no confidence motions all the time hanging over the parliament.
I think it will be the Greens. They'll be able to complete the transfer of Balmain despite that swing to Labor.
Yeah, they've won Balmain.
Okay, cool. Anthony Green's the ABC's election analyst here on RN Drive. It's 12 past four. We're talking about the weekend's New South Wales election count, which, of course, as you're hearing, is still continuing. We talked about Gareth Ward, the Liberal-turned-independent member for Kiama. As it stands in New South Wales, you clearly are able to stand whilst being charged with a criminal offence. I mean, has there been any calls for reform over this issue?
All sorts of people can stand. I've seen murderers run for Parliament. If you don't have a conviction... there's nothing to stop him.
But he's been suspended from Parliament and hasn't been allowed to step foot back in the building since March last year. How does a suspension work? Will it remain in place while he is sworn back in? Or?
The suspension is cancelled at the end of the Parliament. If they want to suspend him again, they have to move a new motion.
It's a term
and
of Parliament suspension.
Given the electorate, no. I mean, the argument for suspension was that the electorate, when they elected him, didn't know he had this, these offences hanging over his head. They do now, and if they re-elect him, knowing that it's a bit hard to suspend someone from representing the electorate that just elected them, whatever the circumstances.
Mark Latham's move to resign his seat mid-term and run again to bolster One Nation's power in the upper house, I mean, has this paid off, do you think?
Well, he's won an extra seat. I suspect they probably would have won an extra seat whether he resigned his other seat or not. But One Nation will go from 2 to 3 seats in the upper house.
The political makeup of the upper house, looking at likely at this stage for Chris Minns premiership, how smoothly will the passage of the legislation be?
Oh, to be honest, I haven't had an awful look, a big look, but I mean, I think Labor's might only have 15 seats. They need 21 votes to pass legislation, so they need another 6 votes. There's 4 Greens, there's an Animal Justice MP, there's a Legalised Cannabis MP, 3 One Nations. There's sort of a collection of people there they can talk to, but there's no one party has the balance of power.
Mm. Of course, from the state election to the federal by-election in Aston, former Cabinet Minister Alan Tudge is leaving politics, making way for that by-election on Saturday. Is Labor's victory in New South Wales worrying more broadly for the coalition? Is Labor in with a shot of winning that seat?
Well, I don't think that's got much impact on Aston. I think the results of the last Victorian election and various shenanigans in the party ever since might have more of an impact, but it is a federal by-election. It's in a very stable and settled part of Melbourne. It's not the sort of seat Labor you'd expect to win. If Labor win this weekend, it'll be a disaster for the Liberal Party. But I personally don't think they're going to win. I think there'll be probably a small swing against the government. It's not very often that the public... it's 1920 was the last time a government was rewarded with a win at a by-election. But I mentioned to say, it was interesting that in 2020, there was a great talk-up of that the Edmonero by-election was a test for Anthony Albanese's leadership. It was painted that way by some of the media in this country. It hasn't been painted the same way in Aston. I suspect it's I'm not quite sure what... Well, there may be various reasons why, but it's certainly not been painted as a test for the opposition leader in the same way. But, I mean, I think I'm getting a bit tired. Edmonero, of course, was a Labor-held seat and they needed to retain it. So there is a difference between
the
two, yes.
Yeah. Just lastly, I mean, when you're operating that screen on live television and you're reliant on technology... I mean, the country feels for you so deeply when it doesn't do what you want it to do. Do you want to hit the screen?
Oh, it works. I mean, there's some slight touchiness on the screen. I mean, we used to have some problems with it, and it's never been the screen itself which is the problem.
It's the operator.
It's nearly always been, sometimes the operator, but it's nearly always been communication across the network. And over the years, we've worked out that if you need to run a touchscreen, you have to actually have the data on the laptop, which is driving it directly next to it. You can't rely on pulling data over a network. If you pull it over a network, if you've got anything busy on the network, it just hangs.
Oh, wow.
You have to have it there. So you've got to drive it along. And we learned the hard way that that's what you've got to do. But it's, look, I've described, election night analysis is bungee jumping for intellectuals. It's like you leap off into the void, tethered by a computer cable to an unreliable data source.
And so, somehow your brain, Anthony, always finds a way. It's a great pleasure. And I'm glad to hear that you won't be leaving the ABC, as has been reported, anytime soon. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Anthony Green there, the ABC's election analyst here on RN Drive.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.